Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So there is one very fundamental concept in networking that I actually don't believe somehow we've covered before, and that is bandwidth. When your ISP sells you connectivity, at least where I'm based, they typically sell you on a speed of the connection. So the language used in Israel is very specifically up to, which means that the ISP says they're going to provision connectivity that's going to support a link up to, and usually at the moment it's 1,000, 2.5 gigabits per second. And I'm sure in some contexts you'll see the ability to provision 10G, but it's far, far less common in consumer world. I haven't seen this offered yet as a package. And I think I'm not even entirely have a good handle myself on what we really mean when we're talking about connection bandwidth. So there's a speed that I can get at the wall, but if everyone in my network, including all the machines, the IoT devices, the cameras, and the human people are sending packets back and forth, that creates a aggregate demand for connectivity that's going to be far larger than any one device. So that's what I generally assume that we're talking about when we're talking about bandwidth. But I'd love to know how it's defined more precisely and why it's never really seen. And this might be very different when we're looking at enterprise internet with service level agreements. But in the consumer ISP realm, we don't typically see bandwidth ever mentioned. The other thing I'm curious to know about bandwidth, and it's probably worth updating my knowledge in this respect, sometimes we used to hear about specific grades of bandwidth. These would be sometimes called, I actually forget the names of them, but they even had nicknames for big aggregated connection points that were given to, let's say, a large business, and they're certified to support a certain amount of throughput and connectivity on that network point. How does that work in the fiber era where we're talking about significantly higher speeds? But I assume that the context of bandwidth is still relevant in this regard.
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corin, and I am sitting here in our house in Jerusalem with my brother, watching the rain hit the stone walls and thinking about how much the digital plumbing of the city has changed. Herman, I remember when we were lucky to get 40 megabits, and now we are looking at 10 gigabit fiber lines running right under the street.
It is a revolution, Corin, and I am Herman Poppleberry. It is great to be here. We have got a really meaty topic today thanks to our housemate Daniel. He sent us an audio prompt asking about something we all use every single second but rarely define accurately. We are talking about bandwidth.
It is funny, because we use the word bandwidth for everything now. We use it to describe our mental capacity or how much time we have for a project. But in networking, it has a very specific technical meaning. Daniel wants to know why internet service providers sell us speed, while big businesses talk about bandwidth and service level agreements.
Exactly. And he also wanted to know about the different grades of connection for those big companies, the stuff that keeps the world running behind the scenes. It is a perfect follow-up to episode 151, where we compared mesh networks to wired connections.
I remember that one. But today, let us start with the basics. Herman, if I buy a 10 gigabit per second plan from Bezeq or partner here in Israel, am I buying speed or am I buying bandwidth?
That is the million-dollar question. In common parlance, we use them interchangeably, but they are different. Think of a highway. Bandwidth is the number of lanes on that highway. If you have a 10-lane highway, you have the capacity to move a lot of cars at once. Speed, on the other hand, is how fast those cars are actually moving.
Okay, so if the speed limit is 60 miles per hour, but there are only two lanes, I can only move a certain number of people per hour. If I have 10 lanes, I can move five times as many people at that same 60 miles per hour.
Precisely. In networking, bandwidth is the maximum rate of data transfer across a given path. It is a measure of capacity. Speed, or what we call throughput, is the actual amount of data successfully transferred. You might have a massive pipe, a huge amount of bandwidth, but if the server on the other end is slow or there is congestion, your actual speed will be lower than your bandwidth capacity.
So why do the ISPs focus so much on the word speed? Daniel mentioned that they always say up to 1,000 megabits, or even up to 10,000 megabits now with XGSPON technology.
Marketing, mostly. Speed is intuitive. People want things to be fast. If you tell a consumer you are giving them high spectral efficiency or wide frequency ranges, they will tune out. But tell them they can download a 4K movie in 5 seconds and they are sold.
But there is a bit of a trick in that up-to language, isn't there?
A huge trick. This is the core difference between consumer internet and enterprise bandwidth. Most consumer connections are oversubscribed. In a modern XGSPON fiber neighborhood, the provider might have a single 10 gigabit line coming into a splitter that serves 32 or even 64 houses.
Wait, so if 64 houses each have a 10 gigabit plan, but they are all sharing one 10 gigabit line, the math definitely does not add up.
It does not. That is a 64-to-1 oversubscription ratio. The providers bank on the fact that you are not using your full capacity all the time. You stream a show, you browse a site, you stop. It is rare that every single person in the neighborhood hits the gas at the exact same millisecond.
This explains why my connection might dip during prime time when everyone is home. The actual available bandwidth is being split among more people, so my individual speed drops.
Exactly. Now compare that to what Daniel was asking about regarding Enterprise Service Level Agreements, or SLAs. When a big bank or a data center buys a connection, they are not buying an up-to-service. They are buying dedicated Internet Access, or DIA. If they pay for 100 gigabits, they get 100 gigabits. It is theirs, and theirs alone. The provider guarantees that capacity 24 hours a day.
That sounds incredibly expensive.
It is. You are paying for the exclusivity of those lanes. And those contracts come with legal guarantees for things like uptime, often 99.999%, the famous 99.999%, and latency, which is the delay. If the provider fails to meet those metrics, they owe the customer a massive refund.
I see. So for us at home, we are sharing a pool, but for a major corporation, they have a private tunnel.
Right, and that brings us to how bandwidth is actually defined. Back in the days of copper, bandwidth was literally the range of frequencies available for the signal, the width of the frequency band. In the fiber era, we use wavelength division multiplexing, or WDM.
Like a prism, right?
Exactly. We send multiple signals at different colors of light down the same glass strand. Each color is its own stream of data. If you want more bandwidth, you just add more colors. This is how we have scaled from megabits to the 800 gigabit and 1.6 terabit Ethernet standards we are seeing in data centers today.
Daniel also asked about the different grades of bandwidth for these large businesses. I remember hearing about T1 lines. Are those still around?
They are the ancestors. The hierarchy is actually fascinating because it shows how we scaled. The basic unit was the DS0, which was 64 kilobits per second, just enough for one voice call.
64 kilobits. That is like a dial-up modem on a good day.
It really is. Then you bundle 24 of those together to get a T1, which is 1.544 megabits. In the 1990s, a T1 made you a tech god. Then came the T3, which was 28 T1s bundled together, giving you about 45 megabits.
And then we moved to fiber and the OC ratings, right?
Yes, the optical carrier levels. OC3 was 155 megabits. OC48 was 2.5 gigabits, and OC192 was 10 gigabits. For a long time, that was the backbone of the internet. But today, the industry has moved to carrier-grade Ethernet.
Why the shift?
Simplicity and cost. The old systems were designed for voice traffic where timing was everything. Ethernet was designed for data. Now, a big business just orders a 10 gigabit, 100 gigabit, or even a 400 gigabit Ethernet port. If they are a hyperscaler like Google or an AI training cluster, they are looking at 800 gigabit links.
That is an insane amount of data. It makes our home connection look like a straw compared to a water main.
It really is. And Daniel mentioned aggregate demand. Think about all the devices in our house. We have Wi-Fi 7 now, which can handle multi-gigabit speeds wirelessly, but that bandwidth is shared by your laptop, my phone, the smart fridge, and the security cameras.
So if the security camera is uploading high-def footage to the cloud, it is eating into the total bandwidth available for my gaming session?
Yes. And it is not just the fiber coming into the house, it is the airwaves. Wi-Fi 7 uses the 6 GHz band to cram more data in, but it is still a shared medium. If you want the best performance, you still want a wired Cat 6A or Cat 7 cable. That gives you a dedicated 10 gigabit lane directly to the router with zero interference from the microwave or the neighbors.
I want to go back to the Shannon-Hartley theorem. I know you love your theorems, Herman. How does it fit here?
It is the fundamental law of the universe for us nerds. Claude Shannon defined the maximum rate at which information can be transmitted over a channel of a certain bandwidth in the presence of noise.
So, it is the physical speed limit of the universe for data?
Exactly. Capacity equals bandwidth times the logarithm of 1 plus the signal-to-noise ratio. It tells us there are only two ways to get more data. Use more bandwidth, meaning more frequencies or colors of light, or make the signal cleaner. In 2026, we are doing both with better lasers and cleaner glass, but we are always chasing that Shannon limit.
That is a humbling thought. Even the internet has to obey the laws of physics. So, for Daniel and everyone else, what should they look for in a plan beyond just the big number?
Look at the upload speed. For years, connections were asymmetric, fast down, slow up. But with video calls and cloud backups, you need symmetry. Fiber usually gives you that. Also, look at latency or ping. For gaming or real-time AI applications, a 1 gigabit connection with 10 millisecond latency is much better than a 10 gigabit connection with 100 millisecond latency.
It is about the quality of the connection, not just the quantity.
Exactly. It is the difference between a massive public bus and a high-end private car. The bus has more total capacity, but the car gets you there faster and more reliably.
That is a perfect analogy. Herman, this has been a great deep dive. I feel like I understand the plumbing of our digital lives a lot better now.
It is always fun to look under the hood. Thanks to Daniel for the prompt. It was a great excuse to talk about Shannon Hartley.
I knew you would get that in there. If you are listening and have your own weird prompts, head over to myweirdprompts.com and let us know.
And please leave us a review on your favorite app. We have been doing this for 245 episodes, and your feedback is what keeps the lights on.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to my weird prompts. We will catch you in the next one.
Until next time, keep asking those weird questions. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye for now. You know, Herman, if bandwidth is the lanes, what is jitter?
Jitter is like the cars in front of you constantly tapping their brakes for no reason. It ruins the flow even if the highway is empty.
That sounds like driving in Tel Aviv.
Exactly. That is why we need those SLAs.
All right. Let's get out of here before we start talking about packet loss.
Deal. See you in episode 246.
Take care, everyone.
Bye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.